I have heard of a land on the far away strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, where we never shall die. 'Tis a land where
it is Wednesday, and this evening at 7:30, we would normally be getting together to have our Bible study and midweek worship service, and we certainly miss everyone and hope that we can get back together soon. We have been in the midst of a series of lessons that we've entitled Common Sense. We looked at how it's common sense to have God as our creator. It's common sense that he would give us an instruction manual, his word as a guide. It is common sense that he would give us a place of protection as his children. And so today I want to talk about a way to access that place of protection. And so I would ask that you would stay with me for a few moments today as we discuss that common sense demands a plan of salvation.
Never
As we mentioned in the introduction yesterday, we talked about the church being common sense and this place of protection that God would give his children makes sense as our creator. And so today I just want to talk about for a little while how a plan of salvation makes sense in accessing, giving us a way to access that place of protection, that church that he established for us to be in, to have safety. God saves us. I think most of us understand this. God saves us through his son, Jesus. In John chapter 3, in verse 16, a pretty well-read verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." We go on in verse 17, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." And so the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus are really the works of merit that give us or that cause our salvation. We cannot get to heaven on our own merit, but we must make it to heaven on the merits of Jesus. And so if we are going to get anywhere on someone else's merit, and that can be for anything, if we're going to get somewhere on someone else's merit, then it makes sense that there would be a plan to accept that. And so that's what I want to talk to you for just a few moments today. There's a story from the Medo-Persian Empire that was passed down of a young man who had put the eyes of a fellow citizen out, plucked out both of his eyes. And just like most of the areas back then during that time, pretty much the same with the children of Israel as well, they had the eye for an eye type of justice. And so the law required that two eyes be taken for the two that he had ruined. And when the violator was brought before the court in trial, the judge was none other than the young man's father. Now, there was a dilemma in the heart of the judge. How do I administer justice to a criminal, but yet show mercy to my son? And so there was a long period of silence where the judge was sitting and wondering and pondering about what he was going to do. And there was a lot of suspense in the courtroom. And so finally, the judge lifts his head and says, "As your judge, I can do no less than assess the full penalty of law. Two eyes must be taken. But as your father, I offer one of my eyes to help meet the demands of justice." I think that we can learn a lot from this illustration. The entire world is guilty of sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 explains that. And sin is wrong, and it separates us from God, as Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2 tells us. Justice cries out for a punishment, but mercy cries out for pardon. And so God sent his son to resolve the conflicting claims of justice and grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God reconciled us with him through his son. And although man needed God's intervention for salvation, it does not alleviate our own responsibility when it comes to our salvation. Salvation is either conditional or it is not. If it is unconditional, then everyone is saved regardless of our own actions. If it is conditional, then we must determine what those conditions are and follow the pattern. We must also understand that if we are lost, we only have ourselves to blame because God has already provided his part of the equation. Just like that father judge provided that eye, it was up to his son to provide the other eye. He couldn't get it from anyone else, but he had to offer one of his own eyes. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that our salvation is 50% us and 50% God. We absolutely have redemption of our sins 100% through Christ. But to accept that, then we have to offer something in return. The same is true for us in the spiritual sense. God provided his mercy in the form of his son. Now we need to fulfill our part. But we must determine what those requirements are and follow them, because like the son in the story, we cannot choose how to fill those requirements. We cannot offer a finger in place of an eye. It is absolutely an eye for an eye type of thing. And again, this does not mean that we earn our salvation. We only fulfill our part in the salvation that God provides for us. And again, as we've been talking about throughout this past week, that makes sense.
Like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.